Next, we're going to turn to item two, which is recommendations of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee regarding the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund. These are co-chaired by Judge Trent Acosta and Sherry Carter, but I think I'll give the overview, and if they have other comments to add, we can do that, and then we can have questions. The issue before us is how to address a projected negative fund balance in the Improvement and Modernization Fund, an issue that we have kept you all abreast of, and that's been primary focus of the subcommittee in terms of evaluating both the IMF and the Trial Court Trust Fund. In addition to having a projected negative fund balance based on current fund revenues and expenditures, there's an ongoing structural deficit of about $25 million, meaning revenues are under expenditures by approximately $25 million. The subcommittee met on August 1st of last year, October 31st and November 1st for 2 days of meetings. And then there was a sort of a culminating meeting on March 17th to discuss sort of the implications of the governor's budget and what approach we should take to recommend to this body and ultimately to the council on how to deal with that problem. At the prior subcommittee meetings, we had discussed this issue that there's currently $20 million of revenues that are moving from the Improvement and Modernization Fund to the Trial Court Trust Fund to address previous general fund reductions. I think we've discussed this issue before this body as well in terms of something that was contemplated. We had yet to get a final recommendation from the review committee to bring to this body for consideration. What the discussion has been is that we do move or retain this $20 million of revenue into the IMF rather than moving it to the Trial Court Trust Fund. But as part of that action, there are expenditures that are currently made out of the Trial Court Trust Fund related to V2 and V3 of case management systems that would then come along with that revenue. So there's still a net benefit to the IMF, but the Trial Court Trust Fund, not only does it move revenues back into the IMF, but it aligns technology-related expenditures that are currently made out of the Trust Fund into the IMF. There's been some discussion about what sort of continuing the work of when the funds were merged from the IMF, the Improvement Fund in itself, and the Modernization Fund, trying to bring greater clarity as to what the Trial Court Trust Fund pays for, and this, our sort of Innovation Fund, our Improvement and Modernization Fund. The subcommittee felt that it would bring greater clarity to the use of those two funds by moving these expenditures into the IMF. So with all that said, the recommendation is to move the $20 million back into the IMF and bring along with it about $9.2 million of expenses. What that does then is it turns our 7.7 projected fund balance of a negative into a $3 million positive, which we all felt was an important step. That does not by any means mean that the work of fixing the IMF is over, but we believe that this, at least for the 14-15 fiscal year, preserves those programs that were reviewed extensively by the subcommittee into 14-15 as necessary, and we can sort of survive in the next fiscal year. There are some issues. Obviously, these are based on revenue projections, and to the extent that there are shortfalls, they may happen, but so we would be remiss if I didn't say that on a $3 million fund balance is very small. And to the extent that the revenues don't materialize as anticipated, we would need to come back and reevaluate the expenses out of the fund. There are issues in terms of the Land WAN project that was debated and discussed at some length by this body on several occasions. And the current budget projection there would not support the kind of program for all 58 courts that are envisioned. But I'll remind you that we do have our budget change proposal to the Department of Finance that's still under consideration, that we have requested the necessary funds to make that program whole. We would again have to reevaluate the implementation of that program in 14-15 to the extent that we don't have the full funding. So there are some risky issues. There's some risks out there, but we believe that at this point, given all that we know, that this is the most prudent approach. Obviously, it does impact the Trial Court Trust Fund, which we'll discuss after this, hopefully this action is taken. But we believe that fixing the improvement fund and modernization fund is an important first step in sort of bringing some order to the fiscal affairs of our core trial court funds.
So can I ask, Lucko, can you, would you mind addressing, I know that they're separate but related, the impact that not transferring the $20 million will have on the trust fund, because we should all understand that it does have an impact on the trust fund, and understand why we bring you this recommendation here regardless.
Yeah. Currently, there's the $20 million that is transferred to the trial court trust fund from the IMF helps offset prior year's cuts. So if the first step was to just retain that funding in the IMF, that means that your allocations will be reduced by that like amount of $20 million. But by bringing forward the IT expenditures, the case management expenditures, out of the trial court trust fund and into the improvement fund, you sort of then allow some of that cut to be mitigated. So you only say face a net of about $10 million of allocation reductions. So the trial courts don't face the full brunt of the $20 million lost revenue, only about half of it. And in the light of the governor's proposed funding, we thought in the context of the $100 million that the $10 million is not as severe. While we're continuing to advocate for additional resources, in the grand picture of the IMF, we felt that it was something that could be pursued. And I think it strengthens our ability to argue for appropriate resources in the IMF, given that we have all of the program expenditures sort of in that one fund.
And it also allows us to at least balance the IMF and not have pending deficits in both of those funds, so at least get one of those in order.
I see Judge Wesley has a question.
I just had a question. I see here that you indicated that the driving force of the decline was the downsizing of the revenue from the 50-50 excess fine split.
Right.
Could you explain what that, I think I understand it, but I know the CEOs understand it, but can you explain that 50-50 excess fine split to me?
I'm going to immediately ask that Stephen Chang give me that, because
well,
I'm still learning, and I would not want to confuse you further, so I'm going to put Stephen on the spot, if you could come and provide that explanation.
We all have our experts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask
Frank
Tanker.
He's probably
the expert.
No problem.
It takes your
village.
Do you want
to ask someone else to?
I'm glad I asked that question.
David.
I'm just
glad they didn't
call
on a CEO to explain.
Good morning. My name is Frank Tan, and I have been working on that 50-50 access of revenue for years, and started tracking that revenue since 2002-2003. 50-50 revenue actually is there are eight coded sections, mainly from criminal fines and forfeitures. And two of them actually is the civil side and the county side. One is called recording and indexing fee, which basically if you're buying a new house and you needed to pay some kind of fee in the county. And the second one is the civil, on the county side is the parking. So those are eight different code sections that generates the money. And a county gets all the money, and then they subtract by their revenue MOE that deposited to trial court trust fund, and the remaining portion divided by two. One county kept their general fund, and the other half would be deposited to the old TCIF, right now it's IMF. So mainly those are the numbers. And the peak of time when we look at it, I have all the data submitted by all the counties, 58 counties. They give me a calculation form, each one of the line, how much they get, and how much money, and then and down the end, subtracted by MOE, and that's the bottom line that they remitted to the state controller's office to be deposited to IMF. So the peak of time, $71 million right now. Prior year, I just looked at the data last week. At the end of 2012 and 13, which is the last fiscal year, we end up at like $31.9 million. And because of a downward trend And we are projecting 27.9 million and 13-14 at this point in time. And I am still looking at the data. The main data right now during the fiscal year, by the way, this revenue only submitted once a year after fiscal year ending. So we sometimes don't have any data during the fiscal year. However, we do have one sort of data from the court, which is called the report of revenue. Each quarter, courts report back to the AOC, and we look at this number, and I particularly ask the courts to report those collections from those eight different court sections. However, two of them, court really have no idea, because that's a county's function. It's a parking and also the recording and the indexing fees. So I'm still looking at those projections, and it could be low, could it be high. It probably frustrate probably around 1 million or two, so I don't know yet. I hope this answers your question.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So
anything else?
Judge Clay.
Do we know what factors are causing the county's reduction to the contribution to the fund?
No, it's the collection.
Their collection?
Yeah.
But I think the question is, do we understand what, do we have any sense operationally, locally, what's going on, why we went from a $71 million to about $30 million since 2007, 8, I think, what was the high year?
Five, six?
Yeah.
And I look at all the numbers, and I do have a chart, and mainly at older year, like, you know, the dot-com bubble. And at that point in time, the recording and indexing fees is so high because, you know, everybody buys a house and swaps a house and they pay lots of money. And then after that, recording indexing fee goes down. And then I think the major driving force is the state penalty and the 30% of the penalty funds. I can't remember exactly, but those are three major driving force. The rest of the accounts are so small now in terms of contributed to the total revenue decrease. The net effect is much less.
And the state penalty fund, it funds a number of other state entities, and overheard in conversations about our own revenues, they're saying, for example, that a number of funds are in the red because they've seen revenues substantially declining. The criminal penalties and what the share that goes into the state penalty fund is declined as well. I think that this is, again, an issue where you're all feeling this in your courts. You've seen over the last few years, and this is what we'll discuss next, this downward trend here. We're hopeful that things will change, but, you know, as it stands now, this is the projections we have. So was that sufficient for you, Judge Wesley?
It did answer my question, and you should. I mean, I know that that the AOC is very active right now, and we're meeting with the controller. We have a subcommittee on fines and fees, and we're using best practices around the state for collections, which hopefully will help with this issue. That's why I asked it. I wanted to make sure I was on the right base. But I think we can increase the collection efficiencies with standard practices around the state, and so I think that is a way to go on this.
Mike Planet, you had a question?
So Frank, just a question on the timing. So did I hear you right that we really, looking at the county pieces, particularly the new home record and indexing, so we won't see the numbers for this fiscal year till next fiscal year?
Mm-hmm. When the books close.
All right.
Yeah.
So hopefully, optimistically, hoping that the trend that we've seen in the last 6 months of new home purchases going up, hope to see a climb in that. But it may not be until 15-16 that we actually see the revenues.
For the 14-15 money, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So there's a lag time. Even if the market does improve, there's still going to be a lag time.
Yes.
Mary Beth?
It's market improving for purchases, but if you recall, I don't know what's going to happen to get us back to where we're all refinancing over and over. And that's what I think really drove those recording fees was that period of where people were purchasing and refinancing repetitively, you know, year after year after year. So
that probably depends on the interest rate.
Yeah.
And really depends on the market of each county, because some counties still are suffering a huge depression in terms of property values versus here in the city in the Bay Area and some of the other areas where property values are just gone crazy.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I could just make 2 points. The reason why it's remitted at the end of the year by the county is because it's the excess over the 94-95 level. So we have to wait till the end of the year to see how much, if any, was over. The other reason why the decline has been so dramatic is because it's not a split of the overall revenue. It's a split of the amount that's above. So even though the decline can be 10% overall, it could be a 50% decline in terms of the split.
Now that we've thoroughly confused you regarding 50-50 revenues.
All right, thank you.
No, but that just speaks to the complexity of our funding streams. I mean, in spite of the number of times we've talked about, you know, the higher level funding and the flows, when you get into the individual revenues and the distributions, and this is what Judge Wesley is talking about, and, you know, it's a bear for each of your, you know, COs, CFOs, to figure out how to put all the money in the right place. The county's difficulties. I think I get letters daily from the controller about the fine, the penalties that are paid. You know, sometimes they're pennies and sometimes they're thousands that they're not distributed properly. So that, you know, they're working with the controller and getting everybody trained and keeping that Appendix C is very important, and improving our collection processes.
If they hadn't done the Appendix C in 4 years, they're going to put out a new one.
Yeah. That said, Rick Feldstein, you have a question?
Maybe more of a comment. In addition to the indexing and such, and as you're saying, the fines and fees are so complex now, they've been added to so much over the year in terms of all the additional buckets that go along with that. I wonder if a lot of those buckets are drawn away from the bucket where money went into that ultimately benefited the IMF. It might be worth looking at that. Because you only get so much out of these people. And
right.
we're just dividing it up more and more.
Right, especially when you have priorities and the amount is not the full amount, then there's going to be a bucket that doesn't get its share. And we have, I think, there's a court assessment, I think, is one of the lower buckets. It's complex and it's just good.
I have a question. This goes both to the IMF and to the trial court trust fund, which we're going to consider later, which is this. I'm concerned about how tiny the fund balance would be, even if we adopt this recommendation. As I understand it, the fund balance is used in some part for working capital, and you need some money available to you to be able to work with during the course of the year. This looks to me as if we'd have about a 4% fund balance in this fund, the IMF, and a 0% fund balance in the TCTF, even if we got the augmentation that's recommended. Have you considered what minimum fund balance is required to effectively operate these funds? And if so, what is that number?
We haven't gotten to that point in that discussion about what is an appropriate fund balance. We were at this point, we were just wanting to make sure we have a positive fund balance. But in order to generate greater fund balances, you have to restrain expenditures while generating revenues.
Well, either that or ask for a BCP. What I'm concerned about is being realistic about what it takes to operate these funds for the branch. And I know, based on my court, I need a certain amount of working capital to be able to operate what is, in effect, a small business. And I assume the same thing is true for you trying to manage
sure.
the branch's funds. And it seems to me an analysis of what an appropriate reserve is would be helpful to making these decisions, because we're being asked now to vote on a 4% reserve in the IMF and a 0% reserve in the TCTF, and that doesn't seem to me to be enough of a reserve, likely to be enough of a reserve. But I haven't done the analysis, and I'm just wondering if you have.
I'll use the State General Fund. The State General Fund has been proposed at a 0.5%. As a fund balance for that particular fund, and there are different philosophies in terms of what are appropriate fund balances, but they're also sort of relative to what you need on a monthly basis in terms of your cash, the consistency of your payments. We know what the Truck or Trust Fund monthly distributions are, and we in fact rely heavily upon early draws against the general fund to ensure that we get you your larger upfront allocations and then taper them down. So even though there might be maybe the fund balance that the revenues, the flows of revenues that are outside of the general fund transfer are sort of smaller, we front load the general fund so that we don't rely on that other flow of revenue. So to some extent, we call upon the general fund immediately so that you can get your money so that you have the cash flows locally to manage your budget. I think that's been a benefit to many. But in terms of the year-end fund balance, 0.7, I think it's like 7/10 is what this number would be if we move on to the next item and that gets adopted. But certainly that's not enough for me to be comfortable at the end of the day about, you know, how to manage that. But what we want to get is a policy that the state should recognize that it funds base allocations at the appropriate level. And if that's the case, if the revenues don't come in sufficiently, then the state is on the hook for making up that difference. I think it's important to get the state to recognize that. If that means that we have a small fund balance, but we can call on the general fund when needed, if needed, to make up that difference, then I feel like that is a secondary reserve. If it was completely on us, I think it would be different, because we would want to have a larger fund balance to mitigate sort of those revenue fluctuations. But what we're advocating, you know, sort of in advance even of this body and the council approving it, is getting the Department of Finance to recognize that they should fund our base allocations and not be at the whims of the revenue changes that are occurring, given that we become a greater reliance on these other funding sources than the general fund.
So this is Kurt. Recall that we did do that study with six of the courts, and we came up with that 12.01% as a figure just to keep the lights on, and then that did not cover any infrastructure costs at all, but that was just to keep the bills being paid in a timely manner.
So we have further discussion on the IMF issue. I think Judge Trenacosta may have some comments.
No, I just want to second what you just described. And I think the exercise of going through and looking at the IMF fund has been instructive to everybody on the committee. And I dare say it should be instructive to everybody in the branch. I mean, the IMF fund really got hit by the double whammy. The decrease in revenues, over $100 million over the last 9 to 10 years, coupled with the fact that we've had to transfer money out to support necessary trial court operations. So this is, if not on life support, it is precariously low. And we have not yet begun the discussion on the trial court trust fund, but I think you're going to see that the partnership between the two is such that it should be of greater concern. To your point that this is yet another discussion point with the Department of Finance and the state. We have been good stewards of the money, but the money, the revenue simply isn't coming in. So,
Sherry?
I was just going to say that my suggestion, Judge Earl, would be to take the next item and do motions together, because when you talk about not moving the $20 million over to the Trial Court Trust Fund, I think it's important that everyone knows there is a plan to fix that hole, mm-hmm. too. So really, there's a plan to fix both holes.
That's fair.
Sure. Okay. We'll move on and discuss item three before we take action on item two. We'll take it together.
So the materials start on page 51 for the Trial Court Trust Fund. As we've discussed, we provide revenue updates and fund updates. We are all aware that the revenues in the Trial Court Trust Fund have been declining. And so in terms of the current projections, we see a negative fund balance that I think you can find on page 53 of the materials, sort of is the numerical presentation. Based on current revenue projections and expenditures, we have a negative fund balance in the 14-15 fiscal year. We do have a positive fund balance at the end of the current year, and I know that there were folks who were very concerned whether or not, when they heard about this $70 million issue, whether or not it was going to be a current year or a budget year issue. And it is, we believe, a budget year problem that we need to resolve. We see that what in terms of actual revenues compared to what were projected going between fiscal years 12-13 and 13-14, we did see a decline, in which contributed to our revenue shortfall. So we have a current year reduction in what the governor's budget assumptions were, $5 million in revenues in the current year and $35 million in the budget year. So that's pushing down our revenues coming into the fund. Next, as you know, that this body had recommended and the council adopted for 2 years consecutively, funding benefit costs that were not paid for from the state. We put that on the back of the trial court trust fund so that we would not result in further reductions to your operations. So this then is pushes expenditures down, or expenditures up, and our fund balance down even further. So clearly those are two important factors. Base revenues going down, and people are asking, well, what revenues are you seeing going down? And we try to provide that information. And if you look at page 58 of the combined, at the top there is a chart that shows total, unlimited, and limited first paper civil filings and paid filings. And if you look at that chart, you can see that starting in 2008-09, we see a pretty steady decline. Some people are asking us, well, are you seeing fee waivers greater than in the past? Well, there's been some of an increase in fee waivers, but what you see is the red line, which is the actual paid filings, sort of declining in the same rate. So we're not seeing filings declining, but paid filings somehow dropping even further off the table. They're declining at the same rate. The decline is unfortunate, but we're not seeing a sort of a greater increase. If you look on the prior page, Colin did a very good job of identifying where fee increases occurred. And it's to no one's surprise that fee increases during a time of economic downturn push revenues down. So you get the combination of the economics pushing the revenues down, and I think we think there's just a barrier to access to justice because of the increased fees. So those are sort of strong factors as to what direction the revenues are going. So we've talked about the revenue decline. We've talked about the expenditure increase. Next is the movement of the $20 million from the IMF to the trial court trust fund. The recommendation that moves stays within the trial court or into the improvement and modernization fund. That adds another $10 million to the problem. So when you get down to it, the bottom line is a $67.8 million structural problem. But let me put a big note on that. Is that I just mentioned that we, for 2 years now, have been paying for benefits out of the trial court trust fund. This $67.6 million assumes that we do not make that payment in 14-15. It is not scheduled. But let me remind you that our blueprint does ask for $64.8 million of accumulated benefit shortfalls that have not been funded by the state. So we're continuing to advocate for that. So in theory, we're not asking for it in two places. If they would not fund the benefits on that side, in theory, then if we had an expectation that the trial court trust fund were to continue to make those expenditures, we'd have a $97 million structural shortfall. But we don't have those resources, and that's why we're continuing to advocate for the general fund paying its share for the costs. So the reason that we're not just trying to solve the fund balance problem is because that just means that the problem reoccurs next year. We get enough to cover the sort of the shortfall this year, but next year we'd be in a hole again. So in order to at least bring some level of stability, I know the materials say the 67.8. I'll be rounding for the purposes, I think, of advocacy here. Is $70 million is an amount that at least brings us into balance, that we bring the amount of revenues and expenditures into balance so that we're not creating a structural shortfall. Yes, Judge Good, we could probably ask for a greater amount to create a fund balance, but this is the amount that we believe we need to have some minor fund balance and fund your base allocations at the rates that they've been funded in this year. Otherwise, what we would be doing is asking the state to give us general fund just to park it in our trial court trust fund. And we think that there are mechanisms to manage, at least for next year, the fund balance going forward. But we need to get that fund balance higher. One reason I think our advocacy needs to be so strong and we really need to represent, this obligation of the state is because, number one, we took it on the backs of the trial court trust fund to fund these benefits. which they should fund. Absolutely, and that is a steadfast position that that's something that they should do. Number two is that the state has an obligation to maintain these allocations. Even though we become reliant on these revenues, we should not be then at the whim of those revenues adjusting your allocations and saying, well, you should just live with the revenues that you get. This should be a general funded program, and it's important that we continue that. Thirdly, since the unfortunate 1% fund balance, we can't then rely on you to have fund balances to make up the gap. So there isn't then even that backstop. So we as a branch have spent down our backstop. They're taking away your backstop. So we have nowhere to turn in order to maintain these expenditures and these allocations. We have to turn back to the general fund. And given that the general fund is vastly improved from even the governor's budget projections are $1 billion above the projections that they just released in January, we feel that this is the time where we need to make it clear that the state has an obligation to maintain the allocations to the trial courts, and that it's not, like I said, the whims of the revenues coming in and out of the trust fund. We feel that that's really the important issue to preserve and protect and then build from there those allocations.
So I'm ready to make a motion, unless there's...
Let me ask, obviously Sherry and Judge Trenacosta led this Herculean effort in reviewing these the funds, and I suppose it's not lost on any of you that work will be enormous next year. Anyone have any questions of Judge Trenacosta or Sherry or the other members of the group who plodded through this?
And if staff have anything to offer that I missed, please fill in so we can have the fullest discussion possible.